Transferring assets. There are three principal ways to transfer assets into the trust. It may be done via buy, in precious metals, purchase, in negotiable instruments, or exchange, based on barter. How it is done in any given situation makes all the difference, and there are certain guidelines to follow to ensure that the transfer cannot be nullified and voided. As a general rule, the trustee, as owner of legal title to the trust property, cannot buy or purchase the trust property for himself, nor convert it to his own use contrary to the trust instrument. This is generally regardless of whether the property was bought or purchased at a public, private or judicial sale, instituted by him, for he has the unfair advantage, and any such sale, absent certain conditions, is deemed voidable ab initio, to be set aside at the option of the beneficiaries. The only way the property may be obtained is where it can be shown that the interest holder assented intelligently, willfully, and without undue influence arising from the trust relationship. In order to sustain a sale of trust property by the trustee to himself individually, on the ground that the interest holder assented thereto, the evidence must show the good faith of the transaction, the adequacy of the consideration, a full knowledge of the facts, and an independent consent on the part of the interest holder. He may, of course, buy, purchase or exchange trust property in the discharge of his duty to protect the trust. These same principles apply to the selling of the trustee's individual property to the trust, as well as to any barter exchange between trustee and trust. In the case of barter exchange, there is an additional option which the trust provides, though it is usually not advisable to exercise it. Simply put, if the contract of transfer is evidently fair and reasonable, untainted by fraud and undue influence. Conveyance of. Property will be upheld. The contract of transfer need not be a complex document, so long as key principles of equity, the guidelines, are strictly followed. This requires that all necessary warranties be made in the documents themselves in order to legitimize the deal. I have provided a sample bill of sale and asset sale agreement in the sample forms section. The general guidelines are that the seller intends that the buyer shall buy, and the buyer intends that the seller shall sell, or both parties intend to effect a purchase, or that each knowingly intend to exchange one item for the other. The party, especially if trustee, discloses to the trust before the contract is made every fact he has learned in his fiduciary relation which is material to the sale, purchase or exchange. The party, especially if trustee, exercises the utmost good faith in the transaction, as no advantage is taken by misrepresentation, concealment of or omission to disclose important information gained as trustee, or agent, and the entire transaction is fair and open on its face. Aside from the general guidelines, there are some specific recommendations for transacting in, as well as purchasing, precious metals for common law purposes. Understand your objective in terms of trusteeship. Contrary to conventional teaching, precious metals are true money, not investments. So, although there may be price appreciation, your primary objective should be wealth preservation, that is, preservation of the trust corpus, not necessarily profiteering, even though a significant profit may likely result to the benefit of the interest holders. Know the size grade of the coins. The size and grade are critical factors. Size determines how much precious metal you're getting. Grade determines the relative value within the size of the coin. Acquire only low-grade old American gold, graded O or lower. The best form of gold holding is low-grade old American coin in lightly circulated condition, 1850-1933. This gold is historically exempt from U.S. gold confiscation laws. Avoid extremely high coin premiums such as CU, BU, MIS 61 through MIS 64 and above. Low-end coin not only protects the corpus value, as well as its purchasing power, credit, but is highly liquid, marketable. Always purchase common date coins, not date-specific ones with various mint marks. Pay attention to delivery time. In a normal financial environment, 2 weeks should be the maximum time needed to complete the transaction and delivery of the metal. In an economic crisis, however, demand often exceeds supply, which will alter delivery times significantly and unpredictably. Don't acquire rare gold coins, graded Ms. 64 or higher. These coins are not suitable for corpus preservation or common law purposes in general. They are investment grade, which focus on quality plus rareness of date and mint mark, and are less liquid as a result. Moreover, due to the small market they appeal to, that is, collectors, it is often difficult to establish fair market values, which tends to give leverage to dishonorable coin merchants. Let the buyer beware. Test the merchant and be sure he does not grade his own coins in-house. Ask his recommendation. If he offers bullion without warning of U.S. confiscation laws, old foreign gold, high Ms. coin, a gold IRA, or sells in the name of a religion, beware. Also, you should never place a large order without a reliable third-party recommendation in general. At common law, diligence is the responsibility of the party who stands to lose by the lack thereof. Don't convert all trust cash into metals. It is generally recommended that you limit the trust precious metals holdings to between 10 to 50% of the total net worth of its corpus. If, however, you deem appropriate, it may prove highly advantageous in the near future to convert up to 80% of its total fund holdings. As trustee, it is prudent to keep enough currency for regular expenses, so as not to force yourself to have to liquidate the corpus in order to raise cash for trust expenses. The objective is to only keep as much cash as the trust can suffer to lose in an economic crisis. Acquire gold for corpus preservation, silver for barter. It is recommended that 90% of the trust's metals be in gold, because that is its core of wealth and store of value. Gold will be too valuable per ounce for small trade, and therefore should be reserved for big ticket transactions only. The remaining 10% of holdings should be in silver for general barter and trade purposes. The silver should be American pre-1964 dated coin, and always take direct possession of the metal. Unless dealing trust to trust within the arrangement you command, never take a paper receipt and allow the seller to hold the metals for safekeeping. Possession is 9/10 of the law, and anything less defeats the purpose behind acquiring the metals in the first place. When transacting trust to trust, or trustee to trust, within the arrangement, however, only then is it effective to utilize negotiable instruments such as notes, bonds, and drafts issued and drawn against the value of the corpus. This practice keeps in rem jurisdiction, that is, control, over the metals with the trustee and allows for greater flexibility in using the trust's credit and worth. What's more, there is an additional method by which assets may be transferred. This is by way of assignment, either of trustee compensation, venture proceeds or profits, or even the trustee's separate employment wages, salary to the trust as value consideration in the contract of transfer. Whatever the object assigned, that the value consideration shall be in the form of an assignment should be set forth as an express term or provision in the documents evidencing the transfer. A trustee may issue a negotiable instrument, such as a promissory note or a bond, to the trust, dividing his personal labor into shares of interest in his trustee compensation, wages, salary, etc., and assigning it to the trust in order to complete the contract. To do this, in addition to the note or bond, he must execute a formal assignment, and then give his employer, payer, etc. notice and instructions to send the payment instrument, for example, employment check, money order, bills, etc., to the trust, which is entitled to endorse the instrument with an authorized signature in the name of the individual trustee per the assignment. It may otherwise be agreed that the trustee shall accept the payment personally, then deliver and sign over the instrument to the trust via special endorsement of the same. The assignment is akin to a private, quasi, garnishment, in which the employer, payer, etc., is noticed and instructed to send the payments directly to the trust, or deposit the funds directly in the trust's account per the assignment. However, A garnishment proceeding is generally given precedence over voluntary assignments. Sample assignment and notice of assignment forms are provided in the sample forms section.